Welcome to the most listened to golf in the world, the Fairways of Life show, on air, online, and around the world, with the most candid interviews, unforgettable stories, taking you beyond the ropes. Here's your host, New York Times best-selling author, Matt Adams.
Welcome into Fairways of Life show, folks. Pleasure to have your company from wherever you are joining us. Today, we are going to be taking a look at what might be a vision of the future, not only in professional golf, but perhaps in professional sports. First, we're going to dive into the recent agreement between the PGA Tour and the Strategic Sports Group. What does it mean for the PGA Tour? What does it mean for professional golf? What does it mean for the ongoing negotiations between the PGA Tour and PIF? We'll have an expert joining us to explain that and more. But first, headlines. This week, Scottie Scheffler comes into the Waste Management Phoenix Open attempting to achieve a three-peat, the first to do it on the PGA Tour since Steve Stricker did it, the John Deere Classic from 2009 until 2011. The last one to do it in Phoenix was over 60 years ago. Arnold Palmer from 1961 to 1963. Other news from Phoenix this week, world number four, Victor Hovland, and world number five, Xander Schauffele, have both withdrawn from the WM Phoenix Open. Now, as to what we were talking about with the agreement between the PGA Tour and SSG, I just want to take you back. It was the week of Pebble Beach. PGA Tour sent out the following release, which I'm going to read to you, and we're going to put some graphics up on the screen to follow along. The PGA Tour, in partnership with Strategic Sports Group, SSG, announced Wednesday the launch of PGA Tour Enterprises, a new commercial venture under the PGA Tour's control. And in a first-of-its-kind program, nearly 200 PGA Tour members will have the opportunity to become equity holders in this new company. PGA Tour Enterprises is also considering participation by future PGA Tour players that would allow them to benefit from the business's commercial growth. Under this program, players would collectively assess over $1.5 billion in equity in PGA Tour Enterprises. These grants, which vest over time, will be based on career accomplishments, recent achievements, future participation in services, and the PGA Tour membership status inclusive. And grants are only available to qualified PGA Tour players. The transaction announced allows for a co-investment from the Public Investment Fund, PIF, in the future, subject to all necessary regulatory approvals. Quoting, "Today marks an important moment for the PGA Tour and fans of golf across the world," say Jay Monahan, commissioner of the PGA Tour and CEO of PGA Tour Enterprises. Continuing, "By making PGA Tour members owners of their league, we strengthen the collective investment in our players in the success of the PGA Tour. Fans win when we all work to deliver the best in sports entertainment and return the focus to the incredible and unmatched competitive atmosphere created by our players, tournaments, and partners. And partnering with SSG, a group with extensive experience and investment across sports, media, and entertainment, will enhance our organization's ability to make the sport more rewarding for players, tournaments, fans, and partners." Another quote, close quote on that one. Another one here. "We're proud to vote in unanimous support for this historic partnership between PGA Tour Enterprises and SSG, said PGA Tour player directors Patrick Cantlay, Peter Malnati, Adam Scott, Webb Simpson, Jordan Spieth, and Tiger Woods in a joint statement. Continuing, "It was incredibly important for us to create opportunities for players of today and in the future to be more invested in their organization, both financially and strategically," they write. This article continues outlining who SSG is, including saying SSG includes individuals with over 200 years of combined sports team stewardship across several major global sports leagues, including the NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, and the English Premier League. Fenway Sports Group, which has led SSG's investment with support from the leadership of Cohen Private Ventures, including Stephen A. Cohen and Andrew B. Cohen, and Arthur M. Blank, owner and chairman of AMB Sports and Entertainment. FSG will serve as a commercial advisor to this new enterprise. In addition, the PGA Tour confirmed progress is ongoing in their negotiations with PIF on a potential future investment, and both parties are working towards an ultimate agreement. SSG has consented to an investment by PIF, subject to any necessary regulatory review and approvals. In addition, the PGA Tour's strategic alliance with the DP World Tour remains a focus. As close partners, the DP World Tour has included in the original framework discussions and agreement announced last year, and the tour is in active discussions how best to work together for a continued benefit for all. Okay, so that was a press release from the PGA Tour in terms of what they are doing with the Strategic Sports Group and this massive investment that's been made from this private entity into the new entity that the PGA Tour has created. Of course, players were asked to comment on that. The first one I'm going to go to here is from Rory McIlroy, where he talks about the fact that, wait a minute, I'm no longer on the board, so I'm no longer on the inside part of the actual decision process. However, he reacted accordingly.
I definitely would have voted for it. I think the group that has been assembled to invest into, well, PGA Tour Enterprises, I guess, not the PGA Tour, but PGA Tour Enterprises. It's a wonderful group of people that have got tons of experience in sports ownership over the past 30 years. I've gotten to know those guys pretty well, especially the Fenway Consortium. We worked with them to sell the majority share of my TGL team to them. So we've worked pretty closely for the last year or so, and they're a great group of people and have the best intentions for the game of golf, which is great. I thought it was good news.
Now stand by with additional comments from Rory McIlroy relative to all of this. But first, I want you to hear the reaction to and comments from Jordan Spieth, who, as you just heard from that press release, voted as part of the unanimous vote to approve the SSG investment in this new entity. Here's Jordan.
Well, I think your question being specifically about their funding, I think the coolest thing about it is the players are now owners. So not only do they benefit with the tour, they now are equity owners, so they want to push it themselves. They want to make the product better themselves. Not that they didn't before, but you directly benefit from owning a piece. And so I think that part is maybe the coolest part of the funding. Obviously, having some big guns behind us, some backup, and the strategy that this group offers was actually something that was very important when we were looking at it. So to have, I think it's like 200 years of sports owning experience. The idea they can help navigate, our future, how content will be consumed when our next media deals are up, stuff like that. To have these partners in perpetuity is, I don't think that can be overlooked. You talk about the funding, but really the strategies that they can have in navigating that space, I think, will be very important. I don't think that it's needed. I think the positive would be a unification, but I think that, like I mentioned before, I just think it's something that is almost not even worth talking about right this second, given how timely everything would be to try to get it figured out. But the idea is that we have a strategic partner that allows the PGA Tour to go forward the way that it's operating right now without anything else, with the option of other investors, whether them or somebody else. That'll just be a decision with them obviously being, the active talks. But I think the short answer is we don't have to. And I think the long answer is the positive there is a unification. But like I've mentioned earlier, we have members that feel strongly on both sides. And so until that would be able to be solved, and that would be number 10 on the list of 10 things, despite any government interference on what they've talked about being a lengthy process, it would be a situation that should be, we should try to have, but I'm not sure, you know, if or how or when it would get done.
All right, so when Jordan Spieth said, I don't think it's needed, he was answering a question from the media that asked him about the necessity of the investment from the public investment fund. So that caused a series of reactions. Remember I said stand by with Rory McIlroy. Rory McIlroy apparently said to Alex Maselli from the Associated Press that he had removed himself from a group text of top players, as it was described, and that was noticed by Jordan Spieth. So Jordan said, what's this all about? And they had a phone call, and Rory McIlroy spoke to why he had this discussion, what his feelings were about the negative impact of those comments. And amongst the comments that Rory McIlroy said are the following. I'm quoting, I think they're different than a year ago because, you know, we're potentially to do a deal with PIF, who own the large majority of LIV, and hopefully seeing things come back together here at some point. Yeah, I wish the nature of the conversation was probably different than it would have been a year ago. Absolutely. I just want to remove myself from the fray a little bit. I talked to him about his comments, and we had a pretty frank discussion. My thing was, if I'm the original potential investor that thought they were going to get this deal done back in July, and I'm hearing a board member say that, you know, we don't really need them now, how are they going to think about that? What are they going to feel about that? They're still sitting out there with hundreds of billions of dollars, if not trillions, that they're going to pour into sport. And I know what Jordan was saying, and I absolutely know what he was saying and what he was trying to say. But if I were PIF and I were hearing that coming from here, the day after doing this SSG deal, it wouldn't make me too happy, I guess. Having PIF as your partner as opposed to not having them as your partner, I don't think is an option for the game of golf. I think they're committed to investing in golf and in the wider world of sport. And if you can get them to invest their money in the right way to unify the game of golf. Close quote from Rory McIlroy. So when I look at this entire picture, it's interesting because Jordan said there are players with a variety of different opinions on all of this. Rory has clearly modified his opinion over the last few months, perhaps more, to come to where he is. The first thing is, from my perspective, this investment from the Strategic Sports Group is incredibly positive for the game of golf. It's obviously incredibly positive for the PGA Tour. I think it is a pathway to stability that the SSG, the people of this stature and these resources, are willing to invest in the game of golf at its highest competitive level. I also think it's extremely positive that the prospects of the PGA Tour and the Public Investment Fund coming together will unify the game at its top tier. Because ultimately, first of all, I do think it benefited the majors that the top players were able to compete against each other again. However, they have to figure out a way that all of the top players can compete in those respective events. But if we face the prospect, the possibility of having professional golf where all of those top players come together in some way, shape, or form moving down the road, if it's not every week, which obviously it won't be every week, it isn't every week right now with the signature events spread out throughout the season and LIV, for example, having 14 events. But in whatever way it ends up coming together, whether the team golf is the element that brings them together or whether it's independent events that combine both, I do not know. I don't know if anybody knows right now inside or outside of those rooms with those negotiations going on. My feeling is that this step with SSG is nothing but good for the game of golf. And I think it's an indication of better things to come in terms of where the game's going. I've always felt the same way about the game of golf. The game of golf will do what it's always done. The game of golf will figure out a way that it not only survives, but it will thrive in whatever the new environment is. And I applaud the fact that that has begun. However, what this all means, what it really means, And again, I say this not only to the world of sport, but I mean it to golf specifically, but also teams moving forward. What does SSG mean to what could happen down the road for your sports team, for your favorite golfer, for your favorite golf league? We'll have that as we continue on the Fairways of Life show, which is presented by the PGA Tour Superstore, the number one golf retailer in all the land. Whether you swing it, whether you wear it, whether you need to learn from it, you will shop with the pros at your happy place.
Relax.
Easy now. Find your happy place. It's all in the hips. Just tap it in.
Yes!
Find the latest clubs and apparel at Golf's Happy Place, the PGA Tour Superstore.
In Ireland, golf is more than just a game. Come and experience our world-famous Lynx courses and our world-famous Parkland courses, all set alongside world-famous scenery. And visit our world-famous historic sites. And while you're here, enjoy our world-famous hospitality. Fill your heart with Ireland at ireland.com/golf.
It screams. It tracks. It's soft. It reacts. It is the Bridgestone Tour B with a game-changing reactive cover designed to spring faster off your driver and stick longer to your wedges. Try Bridgestone's Tour Bs, the Tour Ball reinvented.
The Gen 6 iron is a culmination of everything that we have learned as a team, the absolute best golf club I've ever hit. It's something special. Say hello to the new PXG Gen 6 iron. The longest, most accurate irons we've ever made. They go higher and farther than any iron that I have hit to date, and they're so easy to hit. Super excited for the consumer to try these. They're gonna love them.
PXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period.
Baseball? Nah. Football? Done it. I think I'm gonna go after the PGA Tour.
Bo, you're gonna need the right equipment company.
I think I got that.
You know, Tour Edge backs all their clubs with a lifetime warranty.
I know.
They ship all their premium custom clubs in 48 hours.
I know.
All their premium clubs are hand-built in the USA.
I know.
You know, Tour Edge has won 35 times out here.
Guys, I know.
Pound for pound, nothing comes close.
Boyne Golf provides the ultimate world-class golf destination with 10 championship-caliber courses spanning three resorts. Centered in Michigan's northern Lower Peninsula, the courses are the products of some of the game's masters, including Robert Trent Jones Sr., Arthur Hills, and Donald Ross. From the all-inclusive vacation packages, elite instruction with the Boyne Golf Academy, tournaments, and so much more, Boyne Golf truly offers an unrivaled Michigan golf vacation experience. Just log on to boynegolf.com.
As we welcome you back to the Fairways of Life show, our guest is Casey Alexander, Managing Director. He's an equity analyst at Compass Point Research and Trading. He has almost 30 years of experience as an equity analyst. He's the longest tenured golf analyst, in fact, on Wall Street. Obviously, it makes him an expert in the industry, and is also a very highly competitive amateur golfer as well of renown. So, Casey, first of all, welcome to the program. My question where I'd love to start today is, the deal between the PGA Tour and the Strategic Sports Group, how would you explain it? How would you describe what it is, and what does it mean?
Well, I think it shows you how the nature of compensation for golfers, which are almost inarguably global sports superstars, is changing. You know, you think about the nature of compensation in other sports, football, baseball, basketball, soccer. 90% of that compensation is contractual compensation, and only 10% of that compensation is performance-based compensation. A lot of it is based upon performance that has already taken place, but it's contractual compensation at its heart. And golf has traditionally been almost 100% performance-based compensation outside of perhaps club endorsement contracts. And when you think about it, that's not the way that global sports superstars are paid, and not in this day and age. And so the idea that a global sports superstar can come to your event, provide his name, image, and likeness, participate in your pro-am, spend 2 days promoting your event, have a bad Friday afternoon, and walk away with zero compensation, that's not the way that a Rory McIlroy or a Jon Rahm is going to be compensated in a day and age where they are global sports superstars. So the deal with SSG is designed to provide an element of contractual compensation to PGA Tour players and to global superstars, because that's what LIV and the PIF have done with LIV, is they've provided a higher element of contractual compensation while still maintaining an element of performance-based compensation at each tournament's event, at which the PGA Tour will do as well. But let's just not forget here that we are transitioning to a period where there will be more contractual compensation for golf global sports superstars. And frankly, that's the way global sports superstars are paid these days.
The fact that you've used the phrase global golf superstars multiple times, Casey, I'm curious if that's an indication of the fact of whether we in the golf industry are not fully realizing just how global these players are, how big they are in terms of superstars on a global basis. I know, for example, the last research study I saw was that I believe golf was eighth largest sport globally, which put it in front of, just as an example, the NFL.
Yeah, I think it's a fair statement, Matt. I would bet you donuts to dollars that if you went to Korea, you know, Rory McIlroy and Jon Rahm are better known than Tom Brady and Peyton Manning in Korea. Wow. Frankly, this is a global game, even more so, played in over 100 countries around the world. And the other thing is that this game feeds to a demographic that is highly attractive for advertisers and sponsors. And that's why it may seem like it's an outsized level of compensation relative to the number of eyeballs that it draws. But the fact of the matter is the demographics of the eyeballs that it draws are highly attractive to, advertisers and sponsors that want to head towards upper income, demographics.
All right, so let me ask you a question from a little bit of a different perspective then. You've explained to us how and why this is likely going to evolve in some way, shape, or form to the benefit of players from a compensation level or otherwise. But from the position of those with the strategic sports group, they are investing potentially billions of dollars. What do they hope to get from that? What is the ROI?
Well, that's a great question. Normally, and I've heard this characterized as a private equity investment, I think that only has to do with structure in this particular instance. All right. The folks that are behind SSG, we're talking about owner of the Mets, owner of the Red Sox, owner of major sports teams. The typical private equity time horizon is 3 to 5, maybe 7 years, looking for a payback on your investment. Not these folks. These are not the typical private equity investors. These are folks that intend to hold on to this for a long time and hopefully create generational wealth out of this investment in the PGA Tour. That is similar to the point of view of PIF. I have found it interesting that it's been characterized several times that PIF is spending money with no intent for any economic return. That's just a misunderstanding of time horizons here, okay? The PIF invests in terms of decades and generations, not a 3 to 5 year time horizon similar to private equity. And investments for decades and generations can take a very long view. And in this case, a fund of this size can burn $1 billion or $2 billion here, looking towards a return where 10 years, 15 years, 25 years from now, it's generating $1 to $2 to $3 billion per year in additional income for them as a part of their potential investment in the game. And I would also point out that it's extremely likely that there's still going to be an investment from the PIF fund because the level of compensation is still not even between the two parties involved here. And until PIF is involved in the PGA Tour, which would provide them the motivation to level out these avenues of income that have been created, that's when you're going to eventually be able to create a fully integrated global golf tour. And the great thing about it is it'll have black hats, it'll have white hats, it'll have Hatfields and McCoys. And what golf has always asked for year in and year out is great rivalries. And the way that this is working out, it is likely to create really interesting rivalries. And television and the media will eventually grasp onto that because that's what television and the media does. It writes great stories, and it knows how to do that.
All right, so let's talk about, if you will, at least the television half of television and the media and this idea of time horizons. In whatever time frame you please, Casey, I'm curious where this massive return is going to come from that's going to give back the profit to the people that have made this investment. And again, in whatever time frame that takes, is it anticipated in actually the global growth of the game? So is it television revenue? Is it because the game, when it gets bigger and unified, it's going to attract more corporate investment? Where are the dollars coming in from?
Well, where are they coming in from today, Matt? We're seeing the NFL move to streaming platforms such as Thursday Night Prime. We saw a playoff game that earned incredible rights fees just by going to Peacock. Okay. How long is it going to be before you're going to watch the British Open on Peacock? Okay. That sort of ability to push to every platform available is raising the revenue streams for virtually every sport globally. The idea that golf isn't eventually going to evolve in that direction and participate from it, and those additional streams of income are going to draw more sponsors. I think we could bet that at some point in time we're going to see Wells Fargo back in the fold of the global golf scene because it's a global financial institution.
So, Casey, when you see a consortium like the Strategic Sports Group come together as investors, but in essence now as owners of a major sports league, what does that tell you about sport at large? Is this something that you expect to see in, just name some of the sports that these same entities are owners of? The NBA, the NHL, the NFL, Major League Baseball, English Premier League, maybe Formula One, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I think to a certain extent, in many of these other sports, we're already there. The NFL is trying to push more globally. Arthur Blank is a part of the Sports Strategic Group. Baseball is starting to really become more of a global game. We've seen the incredible signing of Shohei Ohtani. And the other thing is that these are folks who already work in their own businesses on a global scale, and in many cases have worked many times with sovereign wealth funds. And so I think they're going to find a path to work with PIF, perhaps easier than the PGA Tour without their involvement would have been able to. And I think, you know, you've seen that from statements from Rory that, you know, there's a way that this goes forward, and where does it eventually end up is where it should have ended up in the first place, which is a fully integrated global golf tour that intermixes all of these global sports superstars, which I know no other way to describe them because they are known virtually globally.
Casey Alexander is the managing director, the equity analyst at Compass Point Research and Trading. Clearly, obviously, he is an expert at what he does. We're going to continue our conversation after this break. And when we come back, I want to pick up on where he just left off. I want to talk specifically about the PGA Tour and their, as they phrase it, ongoing negotiations with the Public Investment Fund. Is this infusion of massive sums of money from the Strategic Sports Group going to further those discussions? Does it benefit all the parties, or does it drive them further apart? That is the Fairways of Life show continues after this.
Relax.
Easy now. Find your happy place. It's all in the hips. Just tap it in.
Yes!
Find the latest clubs and apparel at Golf's Happy Place, the PGA Tour Superstore.
In Ireland, golf is more than just a game. Come and experience our world-famous Lynx courses and our world-famous Parkland courses, all set alongside world-famous scenery. And visit our world-famous historic sites. And while you're here, enjoy our world-famous hospitality. Fill your heart with Ireland at ireland.com/golf.
It screams. It tracks. It's soft. It reacts. It is the Bridgestone Tour B with a game-changing reactive cover designed to spring faster off your driver and stick longer to your wedges. Try Bridgestone's Tour Bs, the Tour Ball reinvented.
The Gen 6 iron is a culmination of everything that we have learned as a team, the absolute best golf club I have ever hit. It's something special. Say hello to the new PXG Gen 6 iron. The longest, most accurate irons we've ever made. They go higher and farther than any iron that I have hit to date, and they're so easy to hit. Super excited for the consumer to try this. They're gonna love them.
PXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period.
Baseball? Nah. Football? Done it. I think I'm gonna go after the PGA Tour.
Bo, you're gonna need the right equipment company.
I think I got that.
You know, Tour Edge backs all their clubs with a lifetime warranty.
I know.
They ship all their premium custom clubs in 48 hours.
I know.
All their premium clubs are hand-built in the USA.
I know.
You know, Tour Edge has won 35 times out here.
Guys, I know.
Pound for pound, nothing comes close.
Boyne Golf provides the ultimate world-class golf destination with 10 championship-caliber courses spanning three resorts. Centered in Michigan's northern Lower Peninsula, the courses are the products of some of the game's masters, including Robert Trent Jones Sr., Arthur Hills, and Donald Ross. From the all-inclusive vacation packages, elite instruction with the Boyne Golf Academy, tournaments, and so much more, Boyne Golf truly offers an unrivaled Michigan golf vacation experience. Just log on to boynegolf.com.
Zero Friction introduces the Wheel Pro Pushcart Golf Bag with its revolutionary 3-in-1 design, supportive legs that spring into action, a comfort grip handle with three locking positions, accessories for the modern golfer enhanced by 7 pockets for more storage, and removable all-terrain wheels which slide right into place. The new Zero Friction Wheel Pro Golf Bag checks every box for every golfer. Push, carry, or cart, the decision is yours thanks to Zero Friction. Head to ZeroFriction.com today. Fairways of Life show. Fascinating conversation today with Casey Alexander, Managing Director for Compass Point Research and Trading. You know, Casey, I know it's somewhat a sign of the times, kind of the red state, blue state society that we live in, but there are parties that are trying to define what's going on right now to say somehow the investment from the Strategic Sports Group is wall building or fence building, if you please, in between the PGA Tour and the Public Investment Fund. What is it in reality? Does this investment by the Strategic Sports Group help further the negotiations with PIF? Where do we stand?
Oh, I think very much so. I think it does help it in the long term, simply because these are folks, again, that in their own businesses in many ways have dealt with sovereign wealth funds. And, you know, they all do have some experience with private equity in their backgrounds, and every one of them, you know, has learned that other people's money is another way to make money. Also, as I mentioned before, having the PIF fund involved in the PGA Tour structure gives the PIF fund motivation to level out the compensation levels of LIV versus the PGA Tour, which will then allow for cross currents. The way that it sits right now, if you think about it, Matt, just think about the fact that there's a higher level of compensation available on the LIV Tour. What does that do? That encourages guys who have just won a major to then take a higher level of contractual compensation on the LIV Tour, knowing that they're grandfathered into the majors for the next 5 years, and be able to generate lifetime wealth in a 5-year period of time through membership of the LIV Tour. Until you even out the levels of compensation between the two tours and start to allow some crossover, there's always going to be some motivation for, unfortunately, the best players to step across to a tour that gives them a higher level of contractual compensation as opposed to performance-based compensation.
Fascinating stuff. Now, Casey, you've basically answered this in way, shape, or form already today, but I want to ask you straight up. Your job is to analyze businesses. Your job is to analyze industries. If you were looking at golf at its top tier of competition, which is inclusive of LIV, it's inclusive of the PGA Tour, it's inclusive of the DP World Tour, how would you grade that industry right now?
Look, I think it's gone through a period somewhat of upheaval. I think if you're a player, no matter which tour you're on, you have to thank the involvement of the PIF Tour because it certainly raised your standard of compensation. I understand why fans right now are saying, I kind of have lost interest in watching PGA Tour events. I'm not super interested in watching LIV Tour events. But I think we're going through this period of transition that will end up in a fully integrated global golf tour. And when it does, like I said, you're going to have great storylines driven around the Hatfields and the McCoys. The spectating golf public has been dying for rivalries for years, and you've just built in a full generation of rivalries for spectators that can make for some of the most compelling TV ever, and that will drive revenues through broadcast streaming alternative channels of distribution that will make both tours and all tours more popular in the end.
All right, so Casey, I would like you to hear the following comments from Patrick Cantlay, who is a member of the board, and these were made immediately after the announcement was made, so I can get your reaction. Here's Patrick Cantlay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, you know, hopefully this strengthens up the PGA Tour. That's the idea, and I think it will. The investors that we have coming alongside are very experienced and very sophisticated, and hopefully it's a real positive step in the right direction. I think it will be. Yeah, I think anytime someone makes a sizable investment like that, they're going to be watching over the investment. And I think because of their sports experience, we'll really lean on their expertise to try to grow the sport and make it as good as it possibly can be. Well, I think you've already seen some changes by the tour over the last couple of years, sizable changes. And so getting the top guys together more often, which I think is good, you know, this event, you see, has the strongest field that it's had in a number of years. And I think that's fantastic. I think that's what the fans want to see. And so I really hope that, you know, this deal brings about change that really makes it better for the fans, because I think they've suffered a lot over the last couple of years. And I hope that the product will be better for them going forward. You know, everyone's divided. Like I've said, over the last couple of years, I've been pretty the same. I mean, people are welcome to make the choice that they'd like to make. It's a personal choice. It has been. And you know, as far as coming back, we'll see. It's up to a group of us. I know players feel all over the board on that issue. And so my job as a player director is to represent the entire membership. And so if something like that were to come down the road, I'm sure we would have to have a robust conversation around that topic. I think the PGA Tour is definitely stronger after having this deal go through. As far as PIF, I haven't been having any, you know, real conversations myself about that. So I think, you know, that's a question for down the road for the board and for also the NUCO board to decide.
All right. So, Casey, it sounds like Patrick Cantlay is echoing the same enthusiasm for the future that you are telling us that we can look forward to with his investment. Is there anything else in what he said that struck you?
Well, I didn't hear anything that he said that was in conflict with anything that I've laid out today. Other than, you know, the road back to getting the two parties to the point where they can play together on a fully integrated global golf tour, because he's right. The PGA Tour is trying to create a format with their elevated events where the best players can be together to play against each other. But let's not kid ourselves. It's not all the best players. And certainly there's a group of players on the LIV Tour that clearly and adequately belong in that category, should be in that sentence. And eventually the needs of the media to create great golf stories will require them to be together more than just the four majors each year.
Do you think, Casey, that this is a situation where the tide is going to make all the ships rise? What about mid-tier golfers, regardless of the tour that they play on currently?
Yeah, I think that's tough. I do think that the structure of the PGA Tour with the elevated events is sort of bifurcating the tour a little bit. I also do have questions relative to how they're going to distribute ownership shares to PGA Tour members of this new entity. And one would assume that there's going to have to be some sort of vesting process, right? You wouldn't want an owner to be somebody who, you know, misses 17 cuts this year and is outside the top 125 and yet has a perpetual ownership stake in the tour. It's got to vest over some period of time relative to each individual's performance. And that's what those guys at SSG are likely going to be very good at, figuring out the most equitable way to do that. But ultimately, I think that they're going to be welcoming to put both sides together to create something even better.
Fascinating stuff, Casey. And I appreciate your perspective that you have provided to us today, both in its breadth and width, and also with your candor of the same. As I was saying earlier in the program, I happen to completely agree with you. I think this investment from the Strategic Sports Group makes the game stronger, not just the PGA Tour. It makes the game stronger as they move forward with further discussions with PIF and what this means for the future of the game and where golf sits. I am interested in something else, though. So since I have you here, I want to tap into your expertise. I saw a recent report that you were one of, if not the primary author of, which was talking about the game of golf in 2024. Now, I'm talking about all of you at home and how the game of golf is going to impact you, rounds played, equipment purchases, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Could you talk to us about 2024 and how it looks for the game of golf?
Sure. You know, it's my expectation that at least as the United States is concerned, that 2024 is likely to be a record year for golf club equipment sales. And and look, my job isn't to tell you what the future is. My job is to tell you what the odds are. Okay. And we try to help investors stack the odds in their favor. But we've got a number of signposts that lead us to that. 2023 had a record number of rounds played, over 520 million rounds. It had a record number of participants, 26.6 million participants, which finally exceeded the previous record that I think goes back more than 10 years previously. And those surveyed which were over 1,000 surveyed by Sports and Leisure Research Group, have a record intention to play more rounds in 2024 and have their highest expectation ever to spend the same or more for equipment in 2024. So you connect those dots, which is record rounds played by record participants who have a record intention to play as much or more and a record intention to spend as much or more. And that should lead you to the conclusion that 2024 will be a record year for equipment sales, because intention is way more important than what their actual ability to play is. Follow that track, and that should lead to record equipment sales in 2024, at least as the United States goes. And since that's 50% of the market for global golf equipment, sort of as the U.S. goes, so kind of goes the rest of the world, at least in the general sense.
That is fascinating, Casey, but I'm curious about one thing. You know, from, call it a romantic perspective with the game, if you will, we look at it and say, you know, during COVID and post-COVID, people discover the exercise virtues of the game, the fact that you can reconnect with other human beings through the games, obviously the fun and the challenging aspects of the game, et cetera. But from your perspective, from the perspective of cold numbers, why is the game of golf continuing to flourish?
Well, it's not cold numbers, Matt, okay? What happened here is prior to COVID, you know, the statistics were that two out of every three people who joined the game quit inside of a year. Okay. And for all the reasons that we know, it's a supremely difficult game to learn. It's very difficult to get over the hump of proficiency. It has a Byzantine set of rules. And in often cases, golf isn't particularly friendly to newcomers. It can be somewhat of a hostile environment, again, with something outside the rules called etiquette, which makes things complicated for new folks joining the game. But the fact of the matter is that COVID had a two-year cycle of other forms of entertainment that was not available to those folks. And golf was outdoors, it was social, it was available, and it was a safe way for women, kids, etc., to socialize and have fun and get exercise without risking themselves in the COVID environment. What it did was 2 years forced many of those to get over the hump of proficiency and get to the point where they went from newbies to actual golfers. And once you become an actual golfer, the avidity of the game is compelling. And as you know, once you're over that hump of proficiency and consider yourself a golfer, not a startup golfer, then you're hooked. Then you're there.
In whatever form that you are hooked to, which we welcome all of those forms in the game of golf. Casey 100%. Alexander is a managing director and equity analyst at Compass Point Research and Trading. CompassPointLLC.com is the website. Thank you for your time, my friend. Fascinating as always.
Matt, thanks so much for having me on, especially on one of your first shows, and congratulations on your show joining the Golf Channel.
I appreciate that, my friend. We'll be back with more of the Fairways of Life show right after this.
I guess, hello world, huh?
And with one subtle hello, Tiger began an amazing and unthinkable career.
I've done it for 20 years now with Bridgestone. It allows me to play an aggressive style around the greens, and it's allowed me to win a lot of tournaments.
Bridgestone Golf, proud to be part of your journey.
Boyne Golf provides the ultimate world-class golf destination with 10 championship-caliber courses spanning three resorts. Centered in Michigan's northern Lower Peninsula, the courses are the products of some of the game's masters, including Robert Trent Jones Sr., Arthur Hills, and Donald Ross. From the all-inclusive vacation packages, elite instruction with the Boyne Golf Academy, tournaments, and so much more, Boyne Golf truly offers an unrivaled Michigan golf vacation experience. Just log on to boynegolf.com.
I think when you're training for other sports, or why most people go to the gym is so that they can like have muscles and, you know, be strong and be healthy. And a lot of the reason why they struggle to play golf is their body doesn't move properly for them to be able to hit a golf ball. And when you're training for golf, it's a little bit different because you're focused more on flexibility and mobility and being strong in motion. When you're able to kind of have a warm up and have a workout routine and kind of gradually build up to where you're training your body to move properly, yeah, you're going to get a lot of big dividends on the golf course.
Relax.
Easy now. Find your happy place. It's all in the hips. Just tap it in.
Yes!
Find the latest clubs and apparel at Golf's Happy Place, the PGA Tour Superstore.
What if we started a company and the company was under no time constraints, no financial constraints? The one constraint is their clubs had to be exceptional performers and much better than any other alternative. I was told time and again, it'll never work. It worked like a house of fire. And I'll tell you what, I think our customers love it. BXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period.
Stride by Zero Friction, the first of its kind personal caddy. Walk in comfort and style with Stride's remote and follow me technology. The Stride handles almost any terrain, and its 54-hole range will last all day. The lightweight design and removable front wheels makes it simple to handle. Plus, it easily fits golf carts. Order yours and save. Visit zerofriction.com/stride or scan the QR code to order yours today. Stride, your personal caddy.
Welcome back to the Fairways of Life show. Thanks to Casey. Fascinating guest. I keep saying that because it is. I was talking about the fact that when we were coming back from the break, or in the break, I was saying to Dom, I was like, I love when somebody is intelligent enough, they hit you with a phrase that I hadn't heard before, time horizons. He was talking about, you know, the expectation of return on an investment. Hey, congratulations to Jessica Korda. She is a new mommy. Her baby was born on Monday. Her son, Grayson John. Congratulations and good health to all. Now, we did have a couple more bites that I wanted to get to that I was saving about this deal. First of all, Justin Rose on the SSG PGA Tour Union.
You know, I've sort of been keeping my ear close to the ground with some of the guys and anticipated this happening and coming, but it's obviously nice and to when you finally hear the news. And I think just kind of curious to see exactly what it means for everybody. And yeah, like, you know, one, individually on the equity side, curious. But two, like what the strategy is for the tour, how much it, you know, strengthens us, how much, yeah, like really what it means in terms of driving us forward as an organization. But I think, you know, anytime you can engage people with ownership, they do take more pride in the product and pride in their work. I'm hoping that that's the case 170 guys deep. I guess the real acid test is it remains to be seen if it's a good thing having the players in power. You know, that's going to be, you know, hopefully, obviously a lot of guys have committed a lot of time here. And I think we're in a great, you know, we have a lot of options, I think, at the moment. And that's a place maybe that we haven't been. But yeah, listen, I think there's been some good elements in the last couple of years. And there's been some elements that have obviously not been ideal. So hopefully that this moment in time now is a sort of a soft landing to be able to build something cool going forward. Yeah, I think it's complicated, and there'll never be a one-for-one ratio where one guy feels good about everyone coming back because they got something and they didn't. But I think ultimately, if this is all structured the right way, those guys coming back strengthens the tour, and everybody that's now involved in this new structure is going to benefit from those great names coming back and being a part of the tour. So you have to look at it objectively as well. So anything that's going to strengthen the tour in the long term is going to benefit the players now. So from that point, you've got to get your head around that, I suppose. But I don't think there's necessarily an easy reintegration anytime soon. But, you know, I don't see that as off the table.
And here is Ricky Fowler, who says he has tried to maintain middle ground.
I'm excited to learn more about it. I basically know what you guys know. I've put my trust in the guys like Cantlay and Jordan and Tiger and the others that are on the board, but I've seen, you know, firsthand the amount of time and effort that Cantlay and Jordan, Tiger as well. I haven't been around the other guys as much, but it's been very impressive to see what they're doing and everything that they've put into ultimately getting to where we are. Was that their first choice or ultimate choice or whatever? Who knows? But, you know, they worked to get to this point. So, like I said, I'm going to learn more about it just like you guys are, but I trusted what they were trying to do for everyone and ultimately putting the tour in a better position. I feel like I've kind of maintained middle ground as far as learning about LIV when it was first coming about and my belief in the tour, and that was always my dream to play the tour. I always thought it was the best place to play and wanted to see it continue to be that. You know, we're in a different spot a few years down the road. And I feel like when I talked about, you know, Cantlay, Jordan, Tiger, those guys, they put a lot of time and effort to put us in a better spot and make sure that the tour continues to be the best place to play. Yeah, as far as decisions to go elsewhere and just welcome back, I don't think it's a direct road. I mean, they made decisions, and there has to be something for it. You know, whether how small or big, that's not up to me. But yeah, it'll be interesting to kind of see how. I feel like I've been saying it'll be interesting to see how the next few months or year or 2 years go. And we're still in that spot, but a little different now than we were a couple years ago.
All the comments that we've heard today, I think, speak to the hope of what could lie around the corner. It also speaks to the complexity that still remains. Thank you for your company, folks, as ever. And until we are together again, be well and goodbye.